John's Gospel, chapter 1, and reading from the beginning. In the beginning was the Word, that is Jesus, of course, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the only begotten Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but the only begotten Son, who is at the Father's side, has made him known." And so on. Amen. May God bless to us that reading from his own holy word. We read God's word again as we find it in the Gospel of John in chapter 8. Gospel of John and chapter 8. We read at verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." The Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are, appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I am going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are right, because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." Then they asked him, "Where is your Father?" "You do not know me or my Father," Jesus replied. "If you knew me, you would know my Father also." He spoke these words while teaching in the temple area near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him because his time had not yet come. Once more Jesus said to them, "I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come." This made the Jews ask, "Will he kill himself? Is that why he says, 'Where I go, you cannot come'?" But he continued, "You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins." "Who are you?" they asked. "Just what I have been claiming all along," Jesus replied. "I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world." They did not understand that he was telling them about his Father. So Jesus said, "When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him." And even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. So on. Amen, and may God bless to us that reading from his own holy word. Again, we turn with me again, please, to the Gospel of John in chapter 8. Gospel of John, chapter 8. When Jesus, this is verse 12. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I am the light of the world. I know it's not really a kind of Christmassy text in the classic Christmassy text sense, but nevertheless it contains a truth that I hope is not inappropriate at this time of year when we're often largely thinking about the coming of Jesus into the world. It's always good to remember basic truths. It may be that there are some folk here who knows that hardly know these truths of the gospel at all. And if so, then it's good to learn them. And if you're familiar with them, it's good to refresh yourself in them. So we come back to this basic truth tonight. Jesus Christ is the light of the world. We've been looking at the I am sayings of Jesus in Nairn in recent Sunday nights. And I thought Christmas time seems the very appropriate time to take this particular one. It's not in sequence, but it just does seem so very appropriate. Three things I want to focus our thoughts on tonight. First of all, no Jesus, no light. No Jesus, no light. Secondly, Jesus is light. And thirdly, Jesus' people are light. First of all, no Jesus, no light. And that's no as in N-O, not as in K-N-O-W. If there's no Jesus, there's no light. You remember back at the very beginning of the scriptures, the world was in darkness. When God created the world, it was dark until he brought light into the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. God spoke light into that darkness, and in an instant there was light. And so it was in the days before the gospel of Jesus came. There was darkness in the world. The people of that time probably didn't realize they were in darkness, but they were in darkness. And so it's said of those times when Jesus came, the prophecy of Isaiah tells us that before Jesus began his ministry, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. That's the way Scripture speaks about the beginning of the gospel of Jesus. It's a light coming into the darkness. And one of the things about darkness is that we often don't know just how dark it is. Sometimes we do, but there are times when we don't. And this time of year, if you're anything like me, there'll be times when you're working away, either indoors or outdoors, and the night starts to come down, and you don't even realise to begin with that it's getting dark. And then suddenly you realise you can't see terribly well. And the darkness can come on in that kind of way. And you go and you switch on the light, and you think, that was the problem. There was no light. And you suddenly realise just how dark it was, and that you hadn't really appreciated the fact that it was getting dark. Or sometimes you replace a bulb with a brighter bulb, and you can see things in the room so much better, and you think, why didn't I get a brighter bulb before? And you don't realise how dark it is until the light begins to shine better. I remember hearing a story about two little girls that had gone to visit an auntie who had just moved to a new house. She'd moved to a new house in the country, and it had a big garden, and they came rushing back into the house, having been out to explore the garden, and they came out, and they were all dirty and grubby, and they said, guess what we found? We found a hole. And there was this kind of hole where a tree had fallen over and it left a hole in the ground, and it was almost like a wee cave under it, and this was going to be their den. And they said, it's so brilliant, you want to see this hole, it's magic. And they came running in, they wanted to get torches and that so they could explore it properly. And when they ran off with their torches, and 2 minutes later they're coming back, and they go, ah, and screaming. They said, you wouldn't believe what's down there, it's all worms and slaters and beetles and things like that. It's all grotty down there. And they never realised, until the light shone, they didn't realise what it was really like down in the hole, what it was really like in the darkness. And until the light shines, we often don't know just how dark it is. It's said that blind men don't know whether it's dark or light. And so it is with the people of this world. If the light of the gospel has never illuminated them, then often they don't even realise just how dark it actually is. But see how dark it was. The gospel tells us how dark it was, because this was the glory of Christmas. Jesus Christ came into the world as the light of the world. And men were so dark that John can tell us in chapter 1, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. That's how dark the world was. Even when the light came into the world, the Creator came into the world, and nobody recognized him. His own people didn't recognize him. His own people, who had been told that he would come one day, didn't recognize his coming. Weren't expecting it. And when he came, he was nothing like what they might have expected. And he became rejected even by his own people. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. There was darkness in the hearts, even of those who should have known better. But the glory of Christmas is that Jesus Christ has come into the world, and he has come as a bright and shining light. And if you've come to know Jesus for yourself, then it's a light that has been turned on inside you. And God has shed his light so that you see things now, you know things now, you understand things now that you never knew before. As God shines his light onto his word. The glory of the gospel. And can take us by surprise sometimes. We forget how dark we were without the light of the Lord. Pray that the light of the Lord would shine in your heart. And pray that you'll have more and more light and understanding of the things of God. And that darkness still prevails. It's not just that it was there 2,000 years ago when Jesus came into the world. John tells us elsewhere in chapter 3 that light has come into the world, but men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Their deeds were evil. People prefer the darkness to the light, and we don't have to look very far to see the truth of that. All around the world, we see darkness and ungodliness, immorality of every kind. We see a world that is struggling because it's turned its back on God. A world that doesn't recognise the Creator. A world that doesn't recognise the light of the gospel and who doesn't seek to live by the word of God. We know these things are true. Pray that the light of the world would shine upon our world. Pray it would shine into the lights of men and women and children everywhere. Pray it would shine into your heart, into your life, so that you know the full glory of the light that God is shining into our world. Where there was no Jesus, there was no light. But Jesus tells us this in the second place. Jesus is light. John tells us this, chapter 1, verse 9. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. There was a solution for the darkness. Who is that? John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. We know it's Jesus. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The Word became flesh, and he made his dwelling amongst us. Isn't that exactly what happens at Christmas time? The Word became flesh. Jesus became flesh. Jesus, the eternal Son of God, became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. And as soon as that light shines, the darkness is dispelled. You can't have light and dark in the same place at the same time. If you've got a dark room and you turn a torch on, then the darkness goes because light has come in. And you can't have light and darkness at the same time. You can obviously have a beam of light and round about it is the darkness, but the point is the total darkness that was there is gone. Because when light comes, it gets rid of darkness by definition. That's what light is. It's the absence of darkness. Darkness is the absence of light. Jesus Christ came into the world the solution to human darkness. And the solution to human darkness then is the same solution as to human darkness now. To all who received him, says John chapter 1, verse 12, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And he continues to make God known to those who receive him. Chapter 1, verse 18, no one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only Son, who is at the Father's side, has made him known. That's why Jesus came into the world, to make God the Father known. So that where there was that darkness and ignorance of God, he brings light and the knowledge of God. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And there's this extraordinary claim of Jesus. We've seen, as we've been looking at these I am sayings in there in the last few weeks, the outrageousness of Jesus' claims. Every time he makes one of these I am claims, whether it's I am the bread of life, I am the door of the sheep, I am the good shepherd, I am the way, the truth, and the life, I am the resurrection and the life, all these sayings, all these claims are outrageous claims, because they're claims to be God himself. And the people knew that. They knew that by calling himself the Son of God, he was making himself equal with God. And every time he spoke in this fashion, people recognized what you're doing is you're saying you're divine. And folk were shocked that he would say such a thing, but he comes out with it over and over again. Without me, the world is a dark place. Without me, it's a dismal place. It's an unenlightened place. It's a hopeless place. It lacks something critical. Without me, I make the difference in this world. If I'm here, the world's light. If I'm not, it's dark. That's an incredible claim. But that's what Jesus is saying. I bring light. I bring life. I bring knowledge. I bring wisdom. I bring hope. I bring meaning. That's the ultimate Christmas gift. Jesus coming into the world, the gift of God the Father, to bring light into the darkness so that people like you and me will not be left in darkness, but will have the light of life. Only God could say such a thing. And God is light. The scripture tells us that elsewhere. God is light. In him there is no darkness at all. Jesus is saying, effectively, I am God. And so he was, God the eternal Son. It's blasphemy. It's heresy. It's a crime. It's self-deception. It's lunacy. Unless it happens to be true. And with Jesus Christ, it does happen to be true. And he was saying what only he could have said. I am the light of this world. He makes the darkness bright. He makes the world bright. He can brighten the darkest heart. And so he can brighten your heart, your life, if you believe in him tonight. And no matter how dark your life has been, and no matter what dark roads you've walked in the past, and maybe walking even just now, the light of the gospel can come and sweep everything away and make you light in the Lord. That's what Jesus can do, because he is light. That's what Jesus does. Don't turn away from the light. There are beetles and creepy crawlies and things like the girls saw down the hole that run away from the light. Don't be like one of those. Be like a moth that flies toward the light, that wants to see the light, that wants to be attracted to the light. Go to the light. That's the place where Jesus Christ and where light and life can be found. Generally speaking, we don't like the dark. We stumble in the dark. We fall in the dark. So we prefer light. We can't find things in the dark. We can't see things in the dark. There are even people who get suicidal and depressed in the long, dark winter nights. Sads, they call themselves, or so they're called. We don't like darkness. We're made for light. We like dark when we're trying to sleep, but that's a different issue, isn't it? We like dark when we go to the cinema, but it's only so we can see the screen better. But generally, we don't like the dark, and we can't function in the dark the way we can in the light. Jesus brings the light of God. He brings the glory of God. He brings the truth of God. He brings the salvation of God. Be in the light and pray that his light would shine in your heart. Jesus is light. And then lastly, there's this. Jesus' people are light. Jesus' people, as well as himself, are light. As long as Jesus is in the world, he's the light of the world. He says that himself in chapter 9, verse 5. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. But he wasn't going to stay in the world. He said, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. If you're not following Jesus, you're walking in darkness. There's a story told about a man who was walking in the darkness, and he kicked something in the road. Couldn't see. Light was beginning to dawn, but he couldn't see properly. And he picked it up, and it was a bag. And inside was a bunch of stones. And he thought, that's pretty weird, somebody putting stones in a bag. But he carried them along with him, and then just for fun, as the light was beginning to dawn, he would throw the stones at things that he could sort of vaguely see the outlines of. There'd be a tree there, and he'd take one of the stones and chuck it and see if he could hit the tree. And so he went on walking through the darkness, and every now and again he would see an object and he'd take another stone out of the bag and chuck it and see what he could hit. And just when there was only one stone left, the light of day suddenly became bright enough that just as he was about to throw the last stone, and he looked at it and he looked twice, it was a diamond. And he realised that what he'd been chucking away all night, or for the last few minutes at least, was diamonds. And he hadn't seen them in the darkness. How sad that in the darkness we don't even know what's precious. If you're walking in the darkness, you don't know what's precious. You don't know what you're chucking away. And you can be so dismissive of the gospel of Jesus Christ that brings life and that brings light and brings salvation. And you chuck it away because you don't realise what it is. Pray for the light of God to shine in your heart so you know what is valuable and you know what is not. Jesus says, follow anybody else and you're walking in darkness. Follow anybody else and you're walking in darkness. That's not politically correct. But the truth doesn't need to be politically correct. It doesn't need to worry about being politically correct. Jesus is saying, follow that other religion, follow that other guru, follow that other philosophy, follow that other world viewpoint, and it's darkness. And it won't lead you anywhere. It won't take you anywhere profitable. It won't bring you to God. If you want to know God, you need to follow me. That's breathtaking in its arrogance for anybody to be able to say that. And it's what many false leaders have said. But it's not arrogant on Jesus' part because it's true. And he doesn't have to worry about being politically correct because he's telling the truth. He is eternal light. There's no darkness in him whatsoever. He gives his light to his people. Jesus was going to have to leave the world, but the light wasn't going to leave the world with him because he was going to give his light to his people. They will shine with the brightness of Jesus. Sometimes we have a row of candles and they all need to be lit. And what do we do? Sometimes we light the first candle and then you pick it up and you put it to the wick of the second one and the third one. And so the big candle, the first candle, lights all the other candles. That's something about what Jesus does for his people. He is the big candle. He's the one that's lit. They have no light of their own until he comes and he gives them from his own light. And he lights them one after the other. If you're one of the Lord's people today, then you shine with the light of Jesus. No less a truth than that. You shine with the light of Jesus. And Jesus' people become the lights of the world, even when he physically is not amongst us anymore. The Lord's people are in this world to provide light and to shine the ongoing, continuous light of Jesus, the light of the gospel, so that the world will not be such a dark and ignorant and hopeless place. The Lord has left his light behind. What does he say in Matthew chapter 5 to his people? You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You're like a city set on a hill that cannot be hidden. The Lord's people are shining for their Lord. They can no more be hidden than the lights on the hill. See, like when you come over the Black Isle heading down towards the Keswick Bridge and you see all the lights of Inverness down below you. You can't hide that, can you? There's nothing big enough to hide that. The lights shine out because they're up on the hills and you see all around the lights shining. You can't hide a city, a town set on a hill. And Jesus says that's the way it should be for Christian people. If you're shining, even in the darkness, for me, then you can be seen and you will be seen and you'll provide light for the community round about. Don't be a power cut. Let your light shine. That's what Jesus says. Let your light shine so that men will see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do you want to be a blessing to this world? Then let the light of the gospel shine through you. Let the light of Jesus shine through you. Live for Jesus. Speak about Jesus. Act for Jesus. Make your behavior consistent with the teaching of the word of Jesus. And that will be his light shining into the darkness of this world. And who knows what other candles will be lit by your light impacting on them. Isn't that what this dark world needs? Isaiah, in his prophecy, says this: Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, thick darkness is over the peoples, but the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Shine for Jesus, and you'll do great good in this world, and you'll be a blessing to the people you come into contact with. Let the Christmas light of Jesus, the light that came into the world at Christmas time, let it shine on you, let it shine in you, let it shine through you. And who knows what the Lord will do with that. You remember that little song, maybe you heard it as kids. Jesus bids us shine with a pure, clear light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, so we must shine, you in your small corner and I in mine. If the Lord's people in the little corner of the world that God has placed us in will just shine, that's all a candle needs to do, just shine. And who knows what other dark little corners will be lit up. Shine for him and let the light of the gospel be a blessing to all those round about you. Let's pray. Our God, enable us to be light in the world. Enable us to burn with the light of Jesus, not with our own light, not with our own wisdom, not with our own knowledge, not with our own thinking, but with the precious light of Scripture shining through us and the power of Jesus Christ shining in our lives. Lord God, enable us to be the kind of people that we ought to be, and enable us to be a blessing to the folk that are round about us, even here in the places that you have placed us. Hear our prayers, we ask. Watch over us, pardoning sin, in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.